All right, we're recording and we're ready to go. Tonight, if my voice holds out, I don't know why, but it seems like I'm going through puberty. It's going up and down on me, so if I get a little high, I'm sorry. I guess the question I've got for you tonight is, what is temptation? If you look at the definition, it is something tempting, which, okay, you're using the same word in the definition, or a cause or an occasion for enticement. An enticement, the definition of it, is to attract someone to a particular place or activity by offering something pleasant or advantageous. So, for temptations, the devil's not going to use something that's going to take and be harmed, or that we're going to think is unpleasant. If the devil's going to take and entice us, if he's going to do that, he's going to take and use something that's going to appeal to us. It's going to make us feel better about ourselves, maybe get other people to take and say something about us that would take and make us feel better about ourselves. So you can kind of attribute that the devil is kind of like a fisherman. If you take and look at a fisherman, most fishermen, if you go out there, they've got a tackle box, and they've got a lure for every fish, every day of the week, every color. These are the trophy fishermen. Now, everyday fishermen, you can't afford that. But on a trophy fisherman, they will have different colors for of the same lure. It'll have a chartreuse for a muddy water, or this or that, or a little spinner bait that's got extra things. And that's the way the devil is. He has all these different lures at his disposal to try and get you or me to bite on them. Like we do with the fish, you go out and sometimes a regular worm's not working, you take and switch over to a plastic lure, and all of a sudden now you're catching fish. Well, that's what the devil does. He will keep trying. He will keep moving that temptation and keep using a different lure until hopefully he gets you. That's what the devil wants to do. And that's why he does so well. It's because he realizes that something that might tempt — they're not here tonight, but I was hoping that Madison and Brooklyn were going to be here, because I was going to — but something that might tempt them more than likely is not going to tempt Bob and Lena, because of the age range. Different things, different ideas, different maturity levels. And not just, spiritual maturity levels, age maturity level, the whole gambit. And that's the bad thing, or that's the one thing with the devil. He knows what it is that's going to tempt us. And he's going to take, but he's going to keep trying. And he's not going to come at you when you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed and you go, "Man, I feel awesome today. Praise the Lord. I'm happy to be here." He's probably not even going to come too near you that day, because you are such a positive force that morning. You get up and you are ready to go. You're praising the Lord. You're going to have a great day. He's going to get you on those mornings that you wake up and go, "Man, I just don't feel good. You know, I got this kink in my back, and I'm just having a rough day, and I really don't want to go to work because, then I got to deal with all these negative people." Those are the days he's going to try and tempt you. He's going to try and tempt you when you get to your weakest point, because it's easier to attack something that's weaker than it is to attack something at its full strength. And that's the way that the devil does it. He takes and uses just everything and anything. And that's one thing I put in here, was that as a Christian, you need to remember that at certain times, anything can be that lure for Jesus, or for Satan. Got on the wrong one there. You can take, and because it may not affect you, But if you see something going on, if you don't change it or try and help out, it might be an effect for your fellow Christian that's coming up behind you. But at certain times, anything can be that temptation, that agent that he needs, that little glimmer of hope that he hopes to get out of to catch you. We're told in 1 Peter 5 and 8 that the Christian is supposed to be sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Well, if you're looking at it, if I don't know how many people know how a lion hunts. A lion don't always run around roaring. If they're out hunting, your females are going to be over here, and the male's going to sneak around to the other side of that group of animals that they're wanting to catch, and that's when he's going to roar. And he's going to turn and run them right into the trouble. He runs them right into those females. So once you hear the lion roar, it's almost too late. So that's why they take and compare him to a roaring lion. He is, once you hear the roar, you're pretty well sunk to a point. And he does prowl. I mean, they're not standing up and making all the noise they can. They're sneaking around. And that's the way the devil does. He sneaks and he slithers around, because we call the great serpent. He slithers around so that he's going to find out, well, I can put a little bit of a wedge over here between this mom and this husband and wife. I can slither in here just a little bit, get a little bit of a wedge started and to work on. Maybe then that will make her a little less strong, that what I can take and work on them. So we need to just remember that the devil does do that for a lot of reasons. And when I read the roaring lion, I thought, you know, that works. And for people of that time, that definitely they understood what a roaring lion does. They understood lions. Well, in this area, it's kind of like it's still a cat, but it's a smaller cat, but it's like a bob. The devil's like a bobcat as well. A bobcat will get up about 10 foot in the air, and he'll sit there on a tree limb, and he'll watch a deer come under. And he will drop on top of that deer, and it doesn't matter if that deer's 200 pounds or if that deer's 50 pounds. You have all that weight coming down. It disorients them, knocks them to the ground, and then they've got the perfect grip on the spine to actually catch their prey, just like the devil does. So that is something else that he wants to catch us, he wants to keep us, because he wants to take us away from God. He doesn't want us to take and go up and be with God in heaven. He doesn't want us to have a great life, great eternal life. He wants us to take, and he probably wants us to have, I guess, actually, he wants us to have a great life here on earth. Because if you're having this great life here on earth, you're not going to be thinking about God as much. Now, not to say that you can't have a great life. I'm not going that way by any means. But he does want us to take and not worry about our future. He wants us to take and just go about life, just doop-de-doop-de-doop. Oh, I'm here, I'm happy, and not worry about things. So he can work on you and get you to fall away from God, to go away from the way God wants us to go and the way that we want to go. And as you can see in Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23, the devil can use not just anything, but the devil can use our closest friends. And that's kind of scary, because at this time, it's when Jesus was foretelling about his death. And Peter took and, well, I'll go ahead and read it. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. So even someone who can be your best friend, I mean, here Peter been traveling with Jesus, what, 3 years? I mean, they've been around. They've been all over the place together. And yet here he was, Jesus is telling him, this is what's got to happen. And Peter's going, no, you don't have to do that. That's not going to happen to you. But Jesus, knowing that that is what he had to do, yeah, he didn't have to do it. He could have easily taken and called down the angels and said, I'm done with these people. Wipe them all out. Let's start again. But to actually do and follow his Father's will, he knew that he had to do that. And with Peter there, he had to explain to him, you're causing me to have a stumbling block in a way, because you are trying to get me to think more like a man than to be more spiritual like I should be. And another thing that I was thinking about, and it kind of goes with the stalking and the praying or the animals, but also we're not going to be forewarned any time that a temptation is going to come up on us. We're not going to have that warning that it's going to happen. I kind of watching TV the other night, and they had a new heart drug, I think, that they were saying, well, you're not going to be forewarned that you're going to have this disaster happen. You're not going to have a heart attack. On this day, we're going to schedule your heart attack. I don't remember what it was actually for, if it was a drug or what, but I thought it was kind of funny because, well, your car's going to wreck, and then you're going to have this or that. We're planning this ahead of time. You're not going to have that knowledge. You know, you will have the knowledge that Jesus or that Satan is here, and he is lurking around for you, that he is going to use anything and everything in his power to take and make you stumble, to make you wonder why you're doing what you're doing. And sometimes it's just the point, even when you're driving to church and you, I know when I first started coming up here, the big thing for me was I'd see a horse trailer go by as we were coming to church. Somebody was going to ride horses. What am I doing? This is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to be out enjoying nature, but that was a temptation. And it's amazing how little that each temptation, how much it just takes. Sometimes that just a little bit can actually cause us to question, what are we doing? Now, as you mature, it takes a little more to cause that issue. But as we just need to remember that the devil is always there. The devil is always going to be there, trying to pull us away from God. He's going to take and want us to do something that we normally wouldn't do. And then you take and you do that. Well, I did something I shouldn't have done. Well, then you start questioning. Well, did I do? I mean, what can I do? What, trying to make it better. Well, then if you take and if you start focusing on trying to fix it yourself and then you forget, I can't fix it. Nothing, when I sin, I can do nothing to repair that. Now, if I do something against one of you, then I can fix that issue. I can go back and apologize to you. But that sin itself, I can never repair. I can't fix it. We have to realize that that comes from Jesus. That comes from the grace of God and Jesus that took care of us. And because I know that sometimes I know I am, and I know a lot of the men are, I can fix it. I made a mistake. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it right. Well, we need to. That is great when you're out here working on building a box, building a shelf, doing something yourself. But we need to remember that as a Christian, when it comes to sin, that we can't fix it. We need to remember that no matter what, no matter how hard we try, we can never be good enough to fix that problem that we had. That problem can only be fixed by going to God and praying to God, asking for his forgiveness, and knowing that the blood of Jesus is going to wash that sin away. And then we can feel better about ourselves. We still need to take and fix our problems if, like I said, if I offend someone, I hope that I have the sense to realize it and take and be able to go and apologize to them if I've done something wrong and make that right. But that I can fix. I can fix a normal everyday thing. But the spiritual end of it, we can't fix. We have to rely on Jesus and his grace. And those temptations are always there. Even no matter what, there'll always be, he's always there lurking around, hoping to catch you to have a bad moment where you take and say something wrong, where you jump down somebody's throat and they don't deserve it. You lose your temper. You take and decide, okay, well, I don't have to go to church today. I don't have to do this. Or just that one time is what the devil is hoping for. So as you go about your daily life, just remember that the devil is always there. I know we know it, but that is just something that we always need to have in the front of our mind, that he's there and he's going to try and change, make me do something. And the devil's not going to come up as in a red suit and the horns and the tail and all that. He's not going to come up in as this huge lion or some ugly thing that sin actually is. He's going to come at us from a good-looking standpoint. He's going to come at us saying that this is good for you. Look how nice it is. Look at how it's going to be something pretty. It's going to be something pleasurable. And now you're not going to realize, until it's over, you're not going to realize that, oh, I messed up. But we need to remember also that he if he gets us at one time, we always have that chance to come back to Jesus. That we can take, and yeah, I made a mistake, I sinned, and I am sorry for it. And come back to Jesus, and his blood will wash it free. He will cleanse us continually. So at this time, if anyone needs prayers of the church or anything at all, I wish you'd please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song. Oh, sir,